Amen. I'm going to invite Allison to come up and read the scripture this morning. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 2, the section that begins in verses 6 and 7. So Colossians 2, 6 and 7, you can listen along or follow along on the screen if it comes up there too.
As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving.
Amen. Thank you. So we are going to be talking about Christ. You're going to hear this Jesus Christ a lot because that's what we're all about. Amen. And Colossians is a book we're going to study. And this verse talks about being rooted in Christ. So when I thought about our theme, and some of you have seen it in our flyers and whatnot, that we're going to be rooted in relationships, connect, restore, and empower, as you see behind me, that we're going to talk about that as it relates to Jesus Christ and also to our community together. So this is about being rooted. I just love the phrase rooted in Christ. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. If you remember, we talked about Jesus Christ last week, and we talked about who he is. You know, he's the creator and sustainer of life, that he rules over everything, that he is the greatest of the great, that there's no one like him. What he does, that he brings all things together, that he's big enough so that everybody that feels broken or lost can find their place in Jesus. And how does he do it? He does it by shedding his blood on the cross for our sins, that his sacrifice is what brings us life and brings us together. So then we move in Colossians to chapter 2. And in chapter 2, of which Allison just read a couple of verses that I want to focus on, chapter 2 uses this phrase, in Christ, several times, and it implies it as well. So let me just start there and tell you what it says about being in Christ. First of all, it says that in Christ we die to our old selves, and then in Christ we are raised again to new life. So in other words, in Christ we can die to our flesh, which is our sinful desires, and we can be born again into a spiritual life, into a new reality. It also tells us that in Christ is all the foundation of philosophy and wisdom. So everything that we can know should come from Christ. And it warns us not to build our wisdom or our philosophy on anything else other than Jesus Christ. It also tells us that in Christ is the fullness of God. Now, you try to imagine God and your brain starts to hurt, right? I mean, I used to get freaked out as a kid trying to think about how big God was in eternity. Our minds cannot comprehend how big God is. But in Jesus Christ, all the fullness of God dwells in Christ. That means in him we have everything, absolutely everything that we could ever want or we could ever need. And it also encourages us to be rooted in Christ. And that's what we want to focus on today. So the title of the sermon is being rooted in Christ. So the first thing is, what does in Christ mean? Well, in Christ means that we live inside a new reality. It's really what happens, that we really come from one reality and we enter into a new reality. And that's why it's called like being born. Like when you have this reality in your mother's womb, that I don't know if anybody remembers that or not. You know, let me know if you do. But then you're born into this new reality, right? And everything is different. So it's not just a new perspective, which it is, but it's a whole new reality. That's why we baptize, right? Remember your baptism? It's like you go into the water, and when you come out of the water, it's like it's new life. It's like I'm being born into this brand new reality. That we want to live completely in Christ and completely surrounded by Christ so that it becomes everything around us. One of my favorite prayers is from St. Patrick. You know St. Patrick, right? The day where people celebrate by drinking beer and eating corned beef and cabbage and marching in cities. Although, I don't know why they don't always march on St. Patrick's Day, but that's a whole other discussion. St. Patrick was a Christian who lived about 377 A.D., and he wrote this prayer, and this prayer for me is so powerful in describing what it's like to be in Christ. He says this: this is what I pray, that Christ is with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of every person who speaks of me, Christ in the eye that sees me, Christ in the ear that hears me. Do we get the point yet? That Christ should be everywhere, surrounding us at all times, in all places. But I'm going to guess that some of us didn't even think about Jesus Christ until we walked in this morning, right? Think about what consumes your thoughts every day. When you sit down, do you think of Christ sitting with you? Every day, every place. Do you think of Christ in every person that you see? Every person that you see, there could be Christ working through that person. Christ even said, there are chances you could miss me because I'm there waiting. And you could walk right by me and miss my presence in this situation. In every discussion that we have, if philosophy and wisdom is built on Christ, are we looking for what Christ says? Are we looking for Jesus Christ in that situation? That becomes my question, is where is Christ? Where is Jesus? Where is he standing? Where is he sitting? Where is he walking? What is he saying? Because I know that if I'm in Christ, he surrounds me completely. Everything, above, below, right, left, all around me, he surrounds me. How do we live in Christ? How do we live in this new reality, this new perspective? I believe it's related to the theme that we have for this fall. It's about being rooted in Christ. So these are the roots of relationship, that it begins with Christ. We need to connect with Jesus Christ. We need to connect with him every single moment of every day, and then to experience his restoration working in us, you know, bringing that brokenness together as we talked about last week, and then Christ empowering us. What for? So that we can connect with others in meaningful ways, so that we can experience together the restoration of Christ and what he's doing, so that we together can be empowered by Jesus Christ, okay? So rooted in Christ means that we need to be connected to each other, and that's what I'm going to talk about today, okay? How being rooted in Christ means we're connected to each other, and I'm going to do so by telling you about a tree. This is a tree. It doesn't look very big, does it? Anybody want to guess what kind of tree this is? Anybody? It's not a fir tree. This right here, okay, now it's not going to look like it. This is the tree that is the tallest tree in the world, the oldest tree in the world, and the most amazing tree in the world. And you're looking at me going like, he's crazy, right? But this tree is a redwood. This tree is the redwood, and sequoias are the tallest trees in the world. The redwoods can grow to be 350 feet high, or even twice as high as the Statue of Liberty. That's how high they can grow. They are the oldest tree in the world. These groves that are found naturally on the California coast, Northern California and Oregon, they can grow mostly to be 500, 600 years old, but some can live to 2,000 years old. So that means that since the time that Jesus walked on the earth 2,000 years ago, there are trees in California that have been alive that long. Okay, these trees are amazing. They're fire resistant. They can generate their own water. They are some of the most amazing trees that you can imagine in the world. The sequoias, well, they don't get as big. They get wide. They can be as much as 30 meters wide. And if anybody's ever seen, they have ones that you can drive a car through, right? I mean, that's how big that these trees are. I mean, they're huge. So you would think the biggest, tallest trees, oh, you know why they're the best trees? They erase more carbon dioxide from the atmosphere than any other plant. In fact, there are people who are promoting that if we plant these trees all around the world, we can reverse some of the climate change just by planting groves of these trees, because they grow quickly. They can get to their full height in about 20 years and then live for 2,000 years. Just think about that. I mean, I had this idea. If we planted like a grove of these redwood trees in Hartford, they could last for like 500-600 years. I think that would be really cool. They would clean the atmosphere. So if you have the tallest tree in the world, if you have the biggest tree in the world, if you have the most amazing tree in the world, then what do you think its roots are? You'd think they would be the deepest, biggest roots that you could find, right? But wrong. In fact, their roots don't go down very deep at all. And their roots aren't very big around. In fact, the redwood doesn't have one main tap root like a lot of trees do. The redwood, rather, has roots that interconnect with all of the other redwoods, about 6 to 12 feet deep. And their roots can shoot out wide, like sometimes as much as 100 feet from one tree. But they've looked at tens, even hundreds of miles of root systems that they can't even understand where those roots begin and end, because those trees grow together. Their root systems are connected, and that's what gives them their strength. That's what gives them their life. And then as they grow, the top of the trees, the leaves and branches even interconnect, so it creates a canopy, so they don't compete. Listen, they don't compete for resources. They don't compete for sun or water, but they work together to give each other support and life. And they can withstand storms, and they can withstand droughts, and they can even resist fire because of the way they're made, because they grow together. And that parable teaches me that to be connected to Christ is to be connected to each other. Because, friends, we desire from the beginning that we were going to be a church plant. And part of this plant growing is that we develop roots of relationship where we connect with each other and experience mutual restoration and empowerment, right? And that means that connection is very, very important. In other words, if we're going to survive and become the trees that God wants us to be, if we're going to become the grove of redwoods, the oaks of righteousness, the planting that is for the display of God's splendor, if we really want to be the grow as high as we can and as far as we can, we need to be connected to each other at the root level, which means that we have to come together. Amen? Amen. And one of the ways that we do that is we offer what we call life groups, where we can get a chance to live life together and to do life together. And so I was going to invite Dave to come up. Is Dave here? Dave, come on up. Everyone, welcome Dave. Dave's coming up here right now. And what we're doing is, you know, trying to live out this connectedness, trying to grow our roots together. So we have three life groups that go on right now. They rotate every 3 to 4 months, so there's always a chance to get involved in one and be connected. And Dave, you have a group that meets on Wednesday nights, right?
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about the purpose of your group and what you guys do.
Okay. Our group meets at 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights, and our group is focused on prayer. And the type of prayer we're looking is more of healing prayer, connecting to Jesus and to one another through it. And we do it through journaling and some time together in which we listen to God and listen to Jesus and what he's speaking to our lives. And through our connections with the others in the group, we share that together and grow to close to one another. So it's a powerful way to sense Jesus in our lives. And it's done in a very personal way, in a way that connects to him, in a way that has a lot of deep meaning. And I want to kind of talk a little. Can I talk a little?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things we were yesterday talking about is the passage from Luke 24, the road to Emmaus. And you have the two people who were followers or disciples of Jesus. And if you look in there, they knew Jesus very well. And they, at that time, they didn't know Jesus rose from the dead. They were very sad and they were traumatized and hurt. And Jesus came among them. So they knew Jesus for a long time, and they didn't recognize him. And he said later that they had slowness of heart because of the pain and hurt that they had in their lives. And when they fellowshiped and had the breaking of the bread together, their eyes were opened, and when you look at the underlying words, as if they were born for the first time, even though they knew him for who knows how long. And the point of the matter is, first of all, I want to just say, isn't it awesome that the first thing that Jesus did when he rose from the dead is he came to his friends, and he wanted to make sure to let them know he was okay.
Amen.
And that they were all right. He was wanting to restore them.
Right.
And make sure they were fine. He didn't make this big, grand announcement. He didn't sit on top of the temple and say, hello. He went just to his friends and the people he cared and knew about. That tells you, to me, the heart of Jesus. He wants to connect to all of us who want to reach him. And then he wants to connect us to one another. So that's the whole purpose of our group, is to find means to hear the Lord for ourselves and connect with the one another.
And there's information about our life groups up there. We encourage you guys to do that, to get connected. Thank you. That's such a beautiful picture of what happens when we connect together, right? Amen. Amen. You know, in thinking about this image of being connected in roots in a tree, I came across this verse that really was powerful to me this week from Jeremiah, and I want to share it with you. It's from Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8, and just listen. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. It doesn't fear when the heat comes. The leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. It's the image of our life as a tree. that our roots go down, they connect with one another, but they connect with the stream, the Holy Spirit of God. And in this image, the soil that we're planted in, that's the word, that's the Jesus Christ, right? He's the foundation for our life. So if we think back to what Allison read, and she said, listen, we should be rooted right in Christ, strengthened in our faith, and overflowing with thankfulness. So rooted and built up, strengthened in faith, and overflowing with thankfulness. So the being rooted in Christ relates to the being strengthened in our faith, if you see kind of the matching there, the parallels. Rooted in Christ is strengthened in our faith. Built up in Christ is overflowing with thankfulness, all right? So let's start with the first one, being strengthened in our faith as we're rooted in Christ. And that's what this verse caught my mind, because it says have confidence and trust in the Lord. That when you're planted in Christ, when everything about you is Christ, then you gain strength and confidence and trust from that. And that's what God desires for us, that we be strengthened in our faith, that we have a confidence that comes from Christ alone, right? But today, so many people are putting their confidence in other things, right? People are putting their confidence in relationships. Like, my confidence for life is in my relationship with so-and-so, or my relationship with so-and-so. Or maybe my confidence is in my finances, you know, that I can be confident and trust in life. Or maybe I put my confidence in my job or my career. You know, we put our confidence into all these other things, don't we? And we betray that we put our confidence into it because we get worried and upset, right? When the drought comes, when the hard times come, we get worried. We're like, I'm going to die. I'm not going to have enough water as a tree. I'm not going to trust that the stream is ever flowing. I don't know if my roots are going to be able to touch the stream. I don't know what's going to happen because my confidence was in something else. But what it says in the Word is that we should be rooted in Christ. That means your life is built on Jesus Christ. It's the only way to build a life. I just like to simply say to people who are trying to build their life on something else, how is that working for you? It works for a while, but so many people live with worry, with fear, with anxiety, with doubt. So many people feel alone and disconnected, right? Their confidence is not in Christ, but a confidence in Christ not only sustains us when we feel alone, but it connects us with each other. That is what Christ said. Like Steve mentioned, you know, a new command I give you to love one another. We're to love God and love others. It's connected. It's what gives us the roots. It's what gives us the foundation, right? We who've been in church a while, for a little while, we talk about Christ being the solid rock, right? Christ being the cornerstone. Christ being that on which we build everything else. And so what I'm suggesting, proposing, inviting you to today is to build your life on Christ, to be strengthened. For when you do that, you will discover that you're building on this incredible root system that is connected to so many other people, and the strength of their faith and the strength of your faith comes together, and you grow together in that, right? And it gives us what? No fear. There's no fear. As the verse of Jeremiah says, the person that's planted, that's rooted in Christ, they don't fear when the heat comes. They don't fear when the hard times come. They don't fear when the pressure comes. There's no fear. Now, we live in a world where there's going to be fear, right? And anxiety and worry. I'm not saying you'll never feel that again, because I'll be the first to testify you will. Everyone will feel afraid. Everyone will feel worried. Everyone will feel bothered and disturbed and discouraged, right? And all you got to do is spend just a few minutes on social media. You understand the fear, the angst, the anxiety that exists in our world. Or you even sit down and start to talk with someone. And as they begin to describe what's going on in their life, maybe what they're doing in school or the relationships with their family or whatever, whatever, all of a sudden this little bit of frustration comes out, right? And doubt and fear and anger. And we will have that. But I want to tell you that in Christ, He is perfect love, and perfect love drives out fear. Amen. But it's not just an instantaneous thing. It's more like you are in Christ, so the arms of Christ surround you, and so that even while you're afraid, Christ surrounds you, right? So that He holds you like a mother would hold a child during a storm. That child may still be afraid, but the strong, loving arms of the mother surround them until the storm passes. Or like a father who stands out in the waves of the ocean, holding the hands of his children so that together they can jump in the waves and laugh and experience the joy. That child is still a little bit afraid, and they should be. But when you're holding the hand of your father, everything is going to be all right. Or it should be. In Christ it is. Where people may fail you, where even those you trusted and loved may have failed you, Christ will not fail you.
Amen.
Christ promises that when you're rooted in him, that you will be strong, that you will be established, that you will have life. And not just any kind of life, but the best kind of life that you could ever have. Amen. That's what Christ promises. He says, be rooted in Christ so that you can be strengthened in your faith, so that you can have confidence. And that confidence begins to deal with our fear in a way that holds it until that fear is gone. David, who wrote some of the Psalms of the Bible, said it like this: the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Amen.
Amen. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And the answer is no one. Nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God.
Amen.
No lie can live forever.
Amen.
No disease lasts for 100 years.
Right.
Everything will pass in time because Christ has promised that he is faithful. And we know Christ to be true.
Amen.
And sometimes when we get off, I just think we're not building on Christ. We have the foundation, we start to build, but we get distracted, right? We start doing a few things, and pretty soon we're not thinking about Christ. We're not thinking about the presence of God. We're not accessing that new reality. And we start building something over here, and we're like, well, we're frustrated. It's like, well, I'm frustrated, Pastor. I have been following Christ. Well, what about, you know, being a Christian? None of this is working. And I just want us to stop for a minute and say, well, what are we working on? Has Christ been a part of that? Has God told us to do that? Have we asked God about that situation? I mean, everything. You may think I'm crazy. It's okay, go ahead. But I'm talking about everything. Your job, your children, your relationships, the person that you're with, going to the store. I don't care whatever it is. Have you asked God about it? That feels weird, doesn't it? Why do I have to ask God about it? Well, do you want to be a redwood tree? Or do you want to be a tree that gets blown over? That's afraid every time that there's drought, every time there's lonely? Are we connected to Christ and experience his restoration and his power? I want to take a moment, because I know we always invite people. We want people to come who aren't connected to Christ. And if you're here, you might feel like, yeah, I feel disconnected. I do feel afraid. I'm not sure what the purpose of my life is. And the beginning of the verse that was read said, just as you have received Christ, be rooted in Christ and built up in Christ. And maybe you've never received Christ. And that's okay, because you can receive him right now, today. You can say yes to Jesus. You can say, you know what? I've been doing this. I'm going to take my life and I'm going to start being connected to the roots. And how can you experience this new life? How can you do it? Well, I'm going to give you something that you can do. Sometimes someone will say, pray this prayer. You can do that. And if you pray a prayer and you mean it from your heart, God will do a transforming work within you, right? And some people will say, get baptized. The baptism, for those of you who've experienced it, is powerful. And I hope that we can baptize people all of the time here at Hartford City Church, okay? Amen. To experience that new life. But I want to give you yet a different angle on it so that you understand how to grow. And I'm going to go back to my parable of the redwoods, okay? Do you know how the redwoods grow? This is so fascinating. They can grow almost anywhere. In fact, they've planted redwoods all around the world, Germany, China, New Zealand, and these groves seem to be growing and doing very well because they don't need a deep root soil system, okay? But they also could grow just by out of the roots. So the seeds grow on top of the roots. In fact, if there's a stump of a redwood tree, seeds will start to sprout around the stump, and the trees will grow in this perfect circle, and they call them fairy circles or fairy rings in the redwood forest. If a branch falls, or even the trunk of one of these giant redwoods falls to the ground, it can sprout new trees just from that. So along the branch, these trees will shoot up and they will grow in a straight line. We'll see some of those in the forest. And they'll grow to be as strong and high as that. So you can grow in Christ. You can receive Christ just by getting connected to the roots of all of us.
Amen?
You can receive Christ by getting connected to the roots, because if you enter into relationship with us, where we connect, where we restore each other, where we empower each other, you will experience new life in Christ. Your faith will grow. It will. And it doesn't matter how small it is, because you have to believe that it's all in there. I didn't know this tree was coming until last night, all right? So hang on, because we're about to go off script here a little bit. But I'm looking at this tree, right? This redwood, this is a redwood, right? Don't leave me hanging, all right? This redwood tree is going to be 300 feet tall. Come on, look at it. Everybody look at it. Here, can you guys see that in the back? There you go. Derek, can you see that? Can you see that? Brian, can you see that? All right. Look, that's not 300 feet tall, is it? People would look at this and say, oh, you're crazy. This tree is not going to be 300 feet tall. This tree is going to be 300 feet tall. It may possibly live for 2,000 years. It may do more to heal the environment than any other single tree or plant. And everything that it's going to be and become and do is already in there.
Amen.
And some people feel like this. Like, I'm small. I don't matter. I don't see enough growth in my life. But do you know that in Christ, you have it all within you?
Amen.
If this is the seed of faith in your life, then everything that you're going to be, everything that you're going to become, everything that you're going to do is contained within you.
Amen.
And the way that we grow is we connect to each other and we grow together.
Amen.
And that's what gives us our strength. And that's what gives us our growth. So if you're someone who's maybe more like this, you're like, yes, Pastor, I'm a Christian. I know I'm a Christian. But if you still feel, don't feel the confidence, don't feel the strength, don't feel the trust, you're still dealing with fear, then what I'm going to tell you is get connected to our roots. Maybe you've just been sitting a little bit outside the grove, okay? And your roots are kind of connected a little bit. I'm just saying, shoot those roots out and start connecting with other people. Start connecting with what God is doing, because it's going to bring life. It's going to bring everything that God wants us to be and everything that God has planned for us to do. So that's my invitation. If you want to receive the life of Christ, get connected to the roots of this community, of Christ's community, and you'll start to grow. And it'll be amazing what starts to happen. So let me quickly go to the second part. I love this too. That if we're rooted in Christ, our faith is strengthened. If we're built up in Christ, we do it by overflowing with thanksgiving. Amen? And thanksgiving is so important. To be thankful. To have an attitude of gratitude. Because again, there's so much anger, and there's so much hurt, and there's so much ungratitude and ungratefulness in our world that we desperately need people that can overflow with thankfulness. Not just be thankful, but overflow with thankfulness, with gratitude, with praise, right? Because praise is giving thanks to God. And we can overflow with that in a way that brings blessings to everyone, okay? All right, so going back to the redwood, ready for this? This is going to be so cool. So the redwood tree, okay? The redwood tree does an amazing thing with water, okay? Because it needs a lot of water, right? You know how much water the redwood drinks? Okay, let me just compare this to you. How many of you drink water? Anybody drink water in here? Okay, how many of you try to drink like 8 glasses of water a day? I said, well, all right. How many of you think that you drink a gallon of water a day? How many of you think you drink more than 2 gallons of water a day? So kind of, my God, a redwood tree will take 500 gallons of water a day. Now that's a lot of water. Where does it get that? Well, it draws it from the soil, from the roots, so they share that, and somehow it pumps it up this, 300-foot trunk. But also at the top, the way the leaves come together and form a canopy, it can actually soak in water from the atmosphere. It can actually, because of its connection at the top, bring in from the clouds, bring in from the sky, water that it needs. And you know why it doesn't fear the drought? Because what if it's dry and it's a hot summer and there's not a lot of clouds? The redwood forest makes its own rain. Oh, you ready for this? So the water comes up and condensation begins to happen in the leaves to create this canopy, and a cloud is created and it begins to rain down upon its own roots and provide enough water for the community to be sustained. Isn't that beautiful? And that's what thankfulness and praise can do. That if we would be connected and drawing from the Holy Spirit, from the Word of God, from Jesus Christ, and drawing from the praise of heaven, from that we can actually create a canopy of praise that begins to nourish and water the whole community, right? That's what we do when we come together. That's why we sing. We're creating a canopy of praise. That's why we speak and yell things out like amen and yes. That's why we clap our hands in church, because we're creating a canopy of praise that not only draws the presence of God from heaven down into us, that not only brings up from the Word of God everything in us, but we actually create the rain that sustains and nourishes every single person that is in that canopy of praise. Amen. And that's what we do. Now, some of you are used to that. I can see that. I love you guys. You're like, yes, I'm used to it. Some of you might be coming in like, why do they clap? Why are people yelling in multiple languages? I don't understand that yet. Well, let me explain to you why we do that. So think for a minute. Take a step back. When we clap for something, all right, in the world, what do we clap for? We clap for something amazing. Amen. Something spectacular. Something we've never seen before. Or we clap for an individual, someone who gives a great performance, we clap. Or that gives a great speech. Or someone maybe who's receiving an award because they've given of themselves sacrificially to help others. And we clap for that. So why do we clap for God? Because of all of those things and more in God. Because he's amazing. Because he's spectacular. Because he does things we've never seen before. Because he gives of himself and sacrifice to others. Because he does things on our behalf and on behalf of the world. That's why we clap and praise God, right? Because he's worthy. And why do we do it out loud? Because we're not solo red trees. We're supposed to be redwoods together. So we got to experience. We got to put our leaves together. So when we clap, when we praise, come on, when we sing, we're putting our leaves together, right? Amen. And during the week, when we're involved in relationship with one another through the life groups, through Bible studies, through coffee and prayer together, through times where we pray and encourage one another, then we're connecting our roots together. Do you see what God is doing here? You see what God is doing? Through the week and through his word, we're connecting our roots together so that we can be strong together. And when we come together, we're connecting our leaves in a canopy of praise that brings down the blessings of God from heaven, that brings up the Spirit of God from the ground, and that showers the entire community. Amen? Woo! You didn't know the redwood trees were so prophetic, did you? I mean, everyone's going to go home and be like, I'm going to get a redwood tree. I'm going to plant this redwood tree in my house. I'm going to know that this is what we're about. This is what we're about. It's being rooted in Christ and strengthened in our faith while we are being built up in Christ so that we are overflowing with thankfulness, with gratitude,
amen,
with praise. So I want to give us an opportunity to do that this morning. I want to give us an opportunity through prayer, through a meditation that I'm going to guide you through in just a minute, where we can begin to pay attention to the presence of Christ so that we can be rooted in Christ. And I'm going to give you opportunities to express thankfulness and gratitude, because I believe that it will literally change your life and the life of those around you and the atmosphere of those around you, right? I mean, all you want to do, if you want to test this out, is just throughout this week, start saying thank you. Start expressing your gratitude for things. Make a commitment. I'm not going to complain this week, no matter what, but I'm going to praise God in everything. I think you'll find a difference in your own heart, and you might find a difference in the people that are difficult to work with, right?
Amen.
Because, you know, what do they say? Killing them with kindness, right? I mean, sometimes you just need to be kind and generous and gracious and trust that as you're rooted in Christ, that Christ is going to accomplish all of that. So, you know, some of the ancient spiritual disciplines have come back into the body of Christ today to teach us, to guide us in these ways. And this exercise is called the prayer of examine. And the prayer of examine is a way of looking at our lives from the presence of Christ and being able to be grateful for it, gratitude for it. So I'm going to ask Paul to come up. He's going to play a little bit of music for us. Just whatever comes to your mind on the guitar there. And I'm going to ask you guys to take a deep breath. All right? Move in your seat a little bit if you need to. Just want you to get comfortable. I'm going to invite you into this prayer, into this meditation, and I'll guide you through it, okay? So if you want to, close your eyes, if that helps. If you fall asleep, you need it, praise Jesus, I won't judge. If you just want to look somewhere else, that's fine. If you want to look at one of the scriptures, that's fine. But we're going to do a prayer of examine together right now. It'll take a few minutes, but we're going to give us space for that. So we're going to let the music just give us space. On the music comes the Spirit of God sometimes. Sometimes God speaks to us as the music is being played. So the first step in this meditation is to become aware of God's presence in what's happened to you. So think about the last 24 hours of your life. Think about this morning, what you did, what happened. Think about last night. Think about yesterday afternoon. Just try to remember what you did, who you talked to, where you were. And in that remembering, ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand and to see what happened. To bring your thoughts together. And if you think of something that happened last night, just in your mind, imagine Christ, Jesus Christ, being there with you in that place. And then the next step is gratitude. As you're thinking about what's happened to you, give thanks to God for people, for conversations, for gifts given and gifts received. Just say thank you to Jesus for that. Pay attention to small things you remember. God is in the details of your life as well. About something that happened yesterday or this morning. How did it make you feel? Was there boredom? Was there joy? Was there sorrow? Was there frustration? Pay attention to the emotions you experienced. What is God saying to you? Some way in which you fell short or didn't do something, just ask Him for forgiveness. And thank Him for always giving us another chance, another opportunity. Thank you. invite you now to look forward to tomorrow. Think about what's on your schedule for tomorrow, what you're going to do. And as you pray, think about the feelings you have about what's coming up. If there's any apprehension or if there's any excitement, whatever it may be, and just give that to the Lord. Just ask God for hope for tomorrow, for vision for tomorrow. That maybe tomorrow you would walk in the presence of Christ. Christ, I pray that you would be behind us, above us, in front of us, around us, God, beneath us. Pray for something coming up tomorrow. Pray for hope. Pray that you might be aware of Christ with you in that moment. Ask for guidance. Ask for understanding. Just lift your hearts to the Lord.